Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. This is L.A. Steele. Welcome to the show. Tonight, I'm flying alone here. Lila's not going to be with us tonight. But tonight I'm going to talk. I wanted to touch on the we spoke about this a couple of shows back on the hierarchy through the book of Agni Yoga. And I wanted to, Maria Algieri referred this book to me quite a while back, and I've been referring to it off and on, and I keep referring back to it every time it seems like it solves or answers a question. And that I have, and sometimes there's a lot of debate about guides and spiritual guides and guidance and guiding us to our on our destiny or through a greater awareness. And I guess the statement that I've always been amazed at, because it's always been so true, is that when you're ready, the teacher will be there. It's probably not the right way to say it, but when you're ready, there's a teacher, and it's so. I guess I'm guilty as anybody is. Probably more so over the years, but we're so vain to, I'm so vain, I guess, that, you know, to often think that I could find all the answers or know all the answers or don't need to know all the answers or, but one thing I've found over the many years is that I don't know the answers and a lot of the answers, and I have to find people who do, or find places that do know the answers. So it's trusting in guides. We do it every day. We trust in professionals. We trust in friends and family members and so on to help us and or to inspire us or to lead us in a direction that might be the right way. I've had a number of people in the physical realm do that, as well as a number of guides over the many years in the spiritual realm that have guided me through different difficult periods in my life. And oddly enough, I never thought I would say this, and it's probably never want to admit it, I guess, that. But ever since I've been, for many, many years, but I've studied the many spiritual aspects and books and works of psychics and so on, and delved in all types of books on spirituality and the occult and esoteric knowledge, and I've come across a number of people who are far, far more expert at things than I am, far more researched, and have led me to great works. And here is an example where Maria had sent referred me to this great book, which inspired her, but also inspired. Reading it, I can't advise anybody more highly to read this. You can get this book on the internet. It's all in print right here on the internet. It's you can go to Agni, A-G-N-I, Yoga, Y-O-G-A, Society, right? Or just put in Agni Yoga, all right, and or Agni Yoga Society. But Agni Yoga is actually the work itself. And put that in Google and just hit it, and you'll come to the you'll see all the books. But this particular book is the Hierarchy, and I've discussed on the show the Infinity and Fiery World. But tonight, I for some reason feel compelled to read some of this tonight and discuss it. The Hierarchy, as well as the Brotherhood, which are, again, different books within the series of books of the Agni Yoga. How do men understand the law of hierarchy? How do they fulfill the laws of life? How do they intensify in themselves the best strivings? Verily, the law of hierarchy is understood as one's own right. It is forgotten that a hierarch is a link of a chain, and one who fulfills the will of a higher one. Only thus can one respond to the higher assignment. Only thus can one fulfill the trust and accumulate the fires in the chalice. I find these words to be so meaningful only because I feel at times linked. Whenever I have that higher source, I'm linked to a higher source, and that source I know is linked to a higher one and a higher one. And each source is submissive to the higher source, I've noticed. And because of that, it's just a wonderful experience to have that type of guidance. And you know when it's real, and you know when it's sincere. And it comes to you in ways that, you know, you will know. They're all different, but you'll know them when they appear and when you're ready. Thus, the appointment of a hierarch is the appointment of one who fulfills the higher will. When the spirit assigns to himself the affirmed right, he can achieve only through the fulfillment of the higher command. Remember the law of gravitation and counteraction. Steadfastness issues from gravitation and tension from counteraction. Gravitation, along with the line of hierarchy, leads to me, and counteraction from the enemy to glorification. Thus, the teacher and the enemy are cornerstones. The trainer of wild animals first excites their rage in order later to demonstrate their taming. No motion can take place without tension. Therefore, each progressive teaching is in need of enemies and of a teacher. One must remember the physical law in order to understand the immutable and the immutability of the spiritual law. I direct that the significance of the teacher and the needs of enemies and of teacher. One must remember the physical law in order to understand the immutability of the spiritual law. I think I'm repeating myself here. I direct the significance of it, the teacher, and the need of enemies must be understood. Certainly, only the teacher will lead the enemy to madness. Let me repeat that. Certainly, only the teacher will lead the enemy to madness. The full measure of evil must be manifested in order that one may rise regenerated from out of the flames of wrath. The knots of the path cannot be avoided, but know that no tension will remain without its usefulness. Perhaps it will serve entire nations. If a hermit is able, with his thought alone, to destroy a stronghold of evil, then the tensity that was permitted by the higher forces will be like a battering ram against the hostile forces. Each growth of spirit requires burdening through circumstances. There exists an ancient legend that out of human sufferings are created precious stones. Thus it is, and when I say burden me, it does not mean that I bring a sacrifice. I am only multiplying the power of the Spirit. Likewise, people must realize how much closer the latest discoveries bring them to the solution of cosmic problems. For every call flashes throughout the world, and as the ordinary photographic apparatus can take a print of the astral world, so every wave of any current can unite the threads of the far-off worlds. It is time to understand the responsibility and the privilege afforded by earthly incarnations. Yet people often avoid listening to the waves of space and catching the echoes and answers which come from various strata of the universe. We are repeating about the privileges of spiritual development, but the matter is so distorted that a well-meaning denizen even fears to mention anything that is linked with the radiant region of spirit. Oh, let me repeat that, because it's what I was just saying before. We are repeating about the privileges of spiritual development, but the matter is so distorted that a well-meaning denizen even fears to mention anything that is linked with the radiant region of spirit. Try to speak of the light of realization and the bliss of spirit, and you will be feared like robbers and murderers. But even robbers were disciples of Christ and Buddha. Hence, do not fear human epithets, but hearken to the voice of eternity, which leads to bliss and light. Fear not, fear not, fear not. The creativeness of cosmos is always built through the intention of energies. For all achievements, the quality of energies should be affirmed. Therefore, the higher the tension, the more powerful is the manifestation of victory. Our creativeness is saturated with the quality of power. Therefore, having gathered all energies, we can rely upon success. Only the quality of energies gives the needed standard of labor. Therefore, it is so important to have an expanded consciousness and to embrace all that is needed for constructiveness. In fulfilling my will, thou givest me the possibility to fulfill thy will. Where is the boundary line between the wills that live, that strive toward light? One should remember that we lead those who have entrusted themselves to us along the way of tested magnets. One may trust the helmsman who has crossed oceans. Cross the bridge and test thyself, but my star has cognized ages. Let fear not touch the tested heart. The quality of action is affirmed in striving. When worlds are transformed into action, the highest energy is affirmed. Hence, only in life can one manifest all the highest energies, not words, but actions are considered as the affirmation of the highest energies. Only when the potentiality of the spirit is manifested in action is the higher concordance affirmed. Thus, a striving quest gives the key to infinity. Therefore, our plan is so mighty. Therefore, our mandate is so powerful. Because words enter into life as wondrous affirmations. Therefore, our word lives, since the impulse of creativeness is so saturated by the might of fire. Only when our mandate is adopted in life can the higher step be affirmed. Why then is each of your missions so vital? Because it carries in itself the warrant of our cooperation. Thus we affirm hierarchy upon the law of succession. Therefore, when the cosmic law is realized, the understanding of the chain of hierarchy is established. Thus, the best executor will be the closest to the hierarchy. The hierarchy of service is but the fulfillment of the higher will. again, so it is as above, so below. The structure that exists in the universe is mirrored in the structure here on Earth. And the hierarchy is that structure. God, of course, being the highest, the oneness. And everybody else is a delegated healer, helper. And that is our greatest service to each other. And I'm going to get into that as I get into the brotherhood aspect of this book and understanding what universal friendship is, trust, guidance, trusting one to help you cross the bridge of fire and cross the bridge of hell. You know, we all do that. One way or another, we don't really want to see people suffer if we can help it. So, and who are we to turn down people? I mean, there are many people. Some people ask for help, and people say, "I don't know how to," and don't help you at all. Well, to those people, they don't have much of a life and much of an existence, and are quite sad. But to those of you who do help, for those of you who do extend your arms to, in your hands to people, then that is your, you know, then you are a member of the hierarchy. Probably reincarnated to help others. That's your gift. That's your reason for being here. And we'll go into that reincarnation aspect in a few seconds here. The creativeness of cosmos is always built through the tension of energies. I already read that. In fulfilling my will, the quality of action is affirmed in striving. When worlds are transformed into action, the highest energy is affirmed. Hence, only in life can one manifest all the highest energies. Not words, but actions are considered as the affirmation of the highest energies. Only when the potentiality of the spirit is manifested in action is the higher concordance affirmed. Thus, a striving quest gives the key to infinity. Therefore, our plan is so mighty. Therefore, our mandate is so powerful. I've already read this, I know, and I didn't mean to reread it again, but the words compel me to read it again. I don't know why. I tend to want to follow my impulses here when doing these things, because I sense I'm guided to reading this, and you know, so whatever I am as creating an action or a reaction to a higher will, then that's what I'm doing. Though through what is the spirit transformed, through the creativeness of impulse, through what does the spirit ascend? By the creativeness of striving, how then shall the spirit not be saturated by fire, if only thus can one adhere to the cosmic magnet? The consciousness of the higher spirit is fiery saturated. Therefore, only the realization of the higher will can lead the spirit toward its destination. Thus, each conscious measure leads beauty to action. Creativeness that adheres to the affirmed fire is magnetized consciously by fulfillment of the higher will. Therefore, each thought fulfilled is like a deposit in the fiery creativeness. Therefore, each fulfilled thought is linked with our actions. How carefully should the disciples define the quality of their thoughts? Was not the worm of selfhood, conceit, or self-love hidden somewhere? Honesty of avowal is a quality that each spirit must develop within himself. Only thus can one fulfill the design of the plan of the Lord's, the manifestation of the chain of hierarchy, spoke by the fulfillment of the higher will. The quality of thought is so powerful that the fire of space responds to the tension of thought. The cosmic affirmation can take place only when a corresponding harmony is established. Thus, each correspondence brings its consequences. The warrant of the broadening of consciousness lies in the development of sensitiveness. Hence, the quality of striving is the truest indicator of the growth of spirit. Consciousness is manifested as the affirmed power of creativeness. Thus, the quality of thought is intensified by the impulse of search. The creativeness of spirit is intensified by the power of fire. Therefore, our workers must realize the entire power of creative thought and kindle their fires. Thus, only the quality of thought can broaden the consciousness. Thus, let our workers remember. One yoga won the reputation of being a practical joker because he could unnoticeably rearrange various objects and homes, and then ask why. He answered, "I am observing whether you have become blind. Verily, there are few who notice changes in their surroundings, but the first sign of an eagle eye is to notice the minutest changes, since on them depends the vibration of the whole." Certainly, the power of hierarchy is the most vital, and only by this bridge can one build. Thus, in the foundation of each great beginning is laid the energy imbued by the law of hierarchy. Only upon the law of closest coalescence can one build. Only upon the basis of the affirmation of the principle of hierarchy can one affirm the highest possibility. The creative will proclaims that a blended consciousness provides a solution of concordance. Attentiveness can be tested by a very simple method. Place an object in a new place. If it remains unnoticed, enlarge the size of the object and observe what elephant finally attracts the sharp eye. In general, test yourself and others. Apply tests for fear, for irritation, and for negligence. And in all cases, there where the litmus test paper may blush from shame, there is no need of complicated invocations. Simple attentiveness permit one to advance many steps. Thus, one should begin to develop the eagle eye. And, by the way, if anybody would like to call in on this, please do. Wants to add anything or have any questions, the number is 646-915-9505, and be happy to put you on here. United sendings bring much usefulness when one tone is can be maintained as in a musical key. One may even sound a leading note with a tuning fork. A magnet, a tuning fork, a ring, and many other common adaptations easily enter into the daily life of young yogis. The clearing away of accumulations dust requires a shovel and a broom. One should not avoid common objects, as above, so below. It is wise to become accustomed to there being no rest or end, but a single realization of our brotherhood and of hierarchy already directs the traveler along the shortest path to infinity. The orbit that attracts conscious strivings will always bring the spirit to our gates. The creativeness of spirit resounds throughout all space, and only acknowledgement of higher might imbues the spirit with creative searching. Thus, each orbit that attracts one to higher creativeness is imbued with all the highest energies. Only the path of conscious quest affords striving toward our orbit. Thus one may attain the upper steps. Do not accustom the young ones to accept great manifestations according to their human measure. Such an outworn measure does not correspond to reality. For even in a physical sense, people have greatly distorted the concept of immensity. The mind cannot comprehend that only the result defines the true grandeur. Each action can be measured only in accordance with its relation to hierarchy and infinity. Thus, these concepts, which we like signs leading to reality, hence teach the young ones to think first of infinity, remembering moreover that no one should compare himself to a minute grain of sand, as is usually the way of hypocrites. Our measure is guaranteed by an immense responsibility. We shall not err in measuring according to responsibility. During the construction of the designated undertaking, it should be remembered that construction always progresses onward. During the construction, in the name of the Lord, there is only one way that brings us to the creative source. The way of the mighty hierarchy, the path of the powerful guidance of the great service. Therefore, adhering to the creative principle impels the spirit to the affirmed law of hierarchy. Each construction requires the realization of upward striving. Hence, only the law of obedience to hierarchy can give a legitimate tensity. Only thus can one realize the path leading to the mighty infinity. I hope you're getting something out of this. I am, and I really enjoy reading this, because what it does is it you know, you feel like an initiate, of course. You are an initiate. We all are initiates to the higher consciousness and to the awakening of our consciousness. And these wonderful works, they explain this connection that we have to a higher hierarchy, and that chain, that link, each link, and where we fit in that, on that chain, and our responsibility not only to ourselves, but to those around us, those with us, those who are, love us, or those who we care for, and just those who we may not know. But this is our responsibility as human beings who accept the chain of hierarchy as part of their existence, and as part of their journey, and as part of their learning, and as part of their... We all submit our minds to teachers in some way, whether they be visible or invisible. How many go to church every day or pray to God or pray to a deity, but you know, or saint of some sort, or whatever they pray to, they're actually submitting their will to that. So we all know that there's a hierarchy. But, you know, is that hierarchy God, or is it a guide to God? This is where we get confused, I believe. I'm sure God talks direct to people, and I'm sure he uses emissaries for others. But, you know, we'll go on. Either way, if it feels right and sounds right and is right, then that's where we go. That's where we are led. That's where we obey. That's what we do. If we wish to achieve nirvana, if we wish to achieve bliss in our life, if we wish to achieve heaven on earth or even after death, we all submit to a greater hierarchy and a greater will. During the construction, the legend about the giant supporting Earth is not a superstition, but a memory of him who assumed the burden of responsibility of Earth. Thus, in each action, there is one who has taken the responsibility upon his shoulders. The one in cooperation with others constitutes the balance. Like a spinning top, the rhythm of motion should be kept. Thus, mechanics is transformed into art, and the display of simple attentiveness, which we pointed out first in legends and symbols, I now ordain in a simple command. Merely open your eyes, because there are many signs around. The filling of the chalice determines the quality of action. Each thought leading to the mighty understanding of hierarchy uplifts the spirit. Therefore, as striving grows, the broadening of consciousness leads the spirit to this understanding of the origins. Creativeness of the spirit can build a bridge to higher understanding only through the subtlest energies. Therefore, the accumulation in the chalice gives the best possibilities and attainments. Man must strive to fill the chalice and expand the consciousness. Thus the subtlest energies are within reach of only the subtlest receptivity. And limitless striving opens the gates to beauty. And certainly, when the spirit is accustomed to respond in service in conformity with higher predestinations, the link of the spirit with the higher will is established. Hence, one should apply one's striving to perception of the higher will. Only thus can a hierarch serve our task. Verily, adoption and fulfillment are the valor of a hierarch. Again, verily, adoption and fulfillment are the valor of a hierarch. Therefore, I affirm that the power of creativeness is in the blending of consciousnesses. Thus, we create a predestined future. I affirm it. Mean thoughts have been compared to crawling reptiles. Nothing is more analogous to the scum of the consciousness. Can one sit calmly in an armchair knowing that beneath him crawl poisonous snakes and scorpions? One must free oneself from reptiles and primarily on the path to hierarchy. Condemnation of the blasphemy against the Lord are irreparable. Thus, each one who condemns the hierarchy must remember that his levity crime will infect his karma for many ages. Verily, if there is only one way through the Lord to the one light, then one extreme ignorance will allow destruction of this single path. One must assert striving to the highest as the essence of life and assume a reverent attitude toward this salutary striving. By belittling the hierarch, one may condemn oneself and inflict perilous harm on many near ones. It is time to remember this. When space is being clouded by the mist of non-understanding, and it is certainly difficult for the creative rays to penetrate, each layer is permeated in conformity with the complex of its striving. Therefore, the earthly layers are so impenetrable. Hence, all quests of the spirit must proceed at intense tempo. The quest of the spirit must attract it to the magnet of hierarchy, since each power has its correspondence upon earth. Thus, the law of hierarchy must be applied vitally. Some people pour a daily gruel over the image of the teacher and imagine themselves to be in the great service. Teaching and service presuppose much of all the expansion of consciousness on the basis of adherence to the teaching and reverence for the teacher. In studying infinity, one should first of all realize the limitlessness of love and devotion. It is not wise to say that love has overflowed and devotion has withered, because the consequence will be disintegration of oneself. One should understand the limitlessness of love and devotion as the first steps towards service and yoga. One should set oneself this task at least as a means of one's own progress. One should advance only in the direction of the teacher. When one does relief come, then only does relief come. But making a daily onion gruel out of the teacher will not lead to success. Sacredly, limitlessly, let us sustain our love and reverence for the teacher as a healing means of regeneration. The prayer of the heart is the expression of love and devotion. Let us fill our vessel of experiences, because inevitably we must come to it. Let us not waste precious time in demeaning and in dissolution. Each dissolution evokes unbridled elements. In other words, it opposes the manifest good cosmos. The growth of consciousness is verily our festival. When thought comprises striving toward the fulfillment of the higher will, a direct connection with the shield of the higher will is established. Can one reach an understanding of cosmos without striving to penetrate into the higher spheres? Only succession gives foundation to all strivings. All that exists proceeds by the law of succession. Hence, each isolation results only in the loss of the predestined. Thus thought is generated as the carrier of the law of succession. Thus the law of higher will creates limitlessly. In all religions, the one departing from earth has been accorded an accompanying intercessor in the aspect of a saint, angel, or departed relative. Thus was affirmed the existence of a world beyond the grave in need of a guide. One should become accustomed to this thought of the need of a guide. Thus, in all religions, the guide and the teacher were affirmed. Hence, when we speak of the teacher, we remind of that which is inevitable. The teaching can live or turn into the embrace of death. But it is easy to enhance life by turning to light. The assertion of a correct decision is the property of psychic energy. Then how greatly must men develop this property in themselves? Without this property, one cannot assimilate the fire of space. Without this property, one cannot perceive the preordained treasure. Only contact with the higher can give the direction. Therefore, it is necessary to strive to an understanding of the higher principle. Only thus shall we approach the law of hierarchy. Only the reflex of the reflexes of psychic energy can be perceived through psychic or physical sensations. The same shall be said of subtle energies and remote bodies of cosmos, but that should be discouraged researches, because by the shadow and the source of light, one can define the height of all objects. All Western method of ascertainment can also be applied, for I do not see any difference between the West and the East when we are at the summits of research. It is necessary by every means to dissolve all the conventional divisions of ignorance. Let us not be afraid to investigate by all methods. Only learn to know. Humanity's alienation from the understanding of fulfillment of the higher will has placed humanity in a position that has segregated it. Therefore, our disciples have to apply their whole strength for fulfillment in order not to isolate themselves. Hence, it is so important to understand the law of hierarchy. You can perform one of the most useful psychic experiments if you accept all our counsels, and it seems to you that something indicated was not fulfilled or was not transmitted in accordance with your expectations, then immediately study the counsel itself. Apply the words in accordance with the customary human understanding. Then recall all the circumstances that have taken place and consider all your own thoughts, worries, irritation, and all accompanying hazards and blunders. It is very significant to observe the event that have an influence over the cosmic waves. One may see that however ponderous in our human burden, it cannot be compared to the minutest thought. In this way, you can observe to what degree the psychic sphere has its own laws beyond our three dimensions. Beginning with such observations, one can arrive at variable conclusions, which, when accumulated, will bring great benefit to humanity, because the time has now arrived for an especially keen application of psychic laws. It is time to gather into the chalice of patience all the designs and to remember that each fluctuation of climate and atmospheric pressure also exerts its deep influence upon the psychic laws. Let us apply the most precise scale for weighing our thoughts. Let us remember that each oxidization of metal exerts influences upon the character and quality of thoughts. Smoke and also the odor of burning refuse or meat is always harmful. Let us not forget that dust, like particles of decay, penetrate the pores of the body. Let us calmly discriminate in all the details of life, not for self-vindication, but for the investigation of our nature and acceptance of the measures of perfection. One more significant experiment. Accustom yourself to see without looking and to hear without listening. That is, you must be able to aim your vision into the spiritual realms to a degree that, in spite of opened eyes, you will not see that which is before you. And in spite of open ears, you will not hear evident through such physical tests, one can greatly progress in the psychic vision and hearing. For this, it is useful to hold constantly in imagination before oneself the image of the teacher as that which is the most precious to bind you with the Supreme. Now imagine for a moment that you have succeeded with the help of a chemical reaction in creating complete microcosm. In this microcosm, you are the creator. Then why is it so difficult for people to imagine an endless chain of creators from the lowest to the highest, up to the inaccessible? Therefore, in speaking of the infinite, we will not imagine it as someone or something void or measureless, but as something integral in its incessant ascent, and is not the entire infinite expressed in your consciousness? For where are the measures and the boundaries of your consciousness? Thus, from the smallest to the greatest, proceed by step, each link being visible and tangible. There, the indicated experiment will serve you in seeing through the physical, impenetrable forms which stand before you. From the evident proceed to the reality that will enrich your path. Here's another interesting exercise. Try to write different things with both hands at the same time, or try to dictate two letters or conduct two conversations at the same time. Try to drive a motor car and carry on a conversation about complicated problems at the same time. Try to refrain from quarrels when the changeable mood of your companion invites your irritation. Try numerous examples of dividing your consciousness. Try to pour your energy in several directions without losing its value or weakening its flow. A one-sided effort is related to Kali Yuga, but the streams of all energies, like a salutary current, will enrich the discovery of Satya Yuga. The past centuries, we have had examples of the successful division of consciousness, but now we should especially affirm the action of all channels of Brahma Vida. Pay attention to the flow of thoughts and affirm the right waves of rhythm. People should not become like animals who can think only in one direction at a time. The suns of light and flame should sparkle in full freedom and kindle the fires of space. Verily, the chime comes for the kindling of the fires of space, in other words, for their manifestations, even in the nearest physical sphere. It is a difficult time when fires can flash out and, if undisciplined, can burn and annihilate. Accept these members as the lesson of the day. Do not consider that in heaven there are different laws and that we are still preserved through ignorance of lower matter. Indeed not. You know, and you will begin to apply all counsels. One may prosecute ignorance, but one should especially chastise superstition and hypocrisy. Like a leprous film, superstition covers weak brains. We are not against laboratories and Western methods, but we ask that the honesty, efficiency, and the courage of impartiality be added to them. How can one think of cooperation with bird-like brains impede each experiment? One can produce the most stupendous manifestation if the horns of the devil do not impede in the test tube. People believe more in devils than in saints. And each striving is saturated with the fire of spirit. The creativeness of the spirit can part in the fiery constructiveness of the cosmos. And how can one be isolated from the entire cosmic creativeness when man is the creative fulfiller of the cosmic will? One should therefore develop in oneself, conscience, higher forces, but without striving to consonance, there is no creativeness. Thus, humanity must be affirmed in the understanding of the higher forces and adhere to the higher will. And I'll close with this part. Certainly one can attain only through adherence to hierarchy. Only the understanding of the great law will open the eyes of humanity. And how then not to penetrate into the light of constructiveness? Therefore, our disciples must be imbued with an understanding of the affirmation of hierarchy. Therefore, one can build only when our carriers of fire carry our will, and the disciples accept that which is sent. Each builder knows the law of hierarchy. I'm going to go to the, now in the last 10 minutes here, I'm going to go to the Brotherhood. I think it's rather a good section. This is a segment from the Brotherhood. Be not surprised that speaking about Brotherhood, I mention the primary energy. There are two reasons for this. Without this, with the center sleeping, realization of such subtle perception is impossible. In such most subtle vibrations is built brotherly cooperation. The second thing to be remembered is that not everyone has read the preceding writings in which psychic energy is spoken about. Each book must contain the basic conditions for improvement. It would be cruel not to give even brief allusions to the preceding, wherein something invaluable has been dealt with. Let us be attentive to each small circumstance in the earthly way of life. It is difficult to distinguish where is the small and where is the great, where the useless and where is the useful. Many pearls have been swept away with the dust. If you notice that your companion is not only partially assimilating vital principles, help him. In such patient assistance, there is expressed a very important quality for brotherhood. Psychic energy is called the organ of the fourth dimension. Indeed, the fact of this dimension is relative. It only expresses the refined state of all feelings. Great refinement bestows the possibility of understanding supermundane conditions. But if the fourth dimension has been established in the nomenclature, let it be thus. So long as we do not revert to two dimensions. Likewise, let us not object if psychic energy be called an organ. It exists. It produces powerful reactions. It assimilates cosmic currents. It is bound up with life. Let it be called even an organ, for in such designation there already is acknowledgement of it. It must not be forgotten that, on the whole, many will not understand a single word about psychic energy. They will not accept it, just as a man who has never seen lightning does not recognize it. Thus, there are to found people who do not understand, on the whole, what thought is. The characteristic of such people will not be illiteracy, but obduracy. Not few are are such corpses. Let investigators of psychic energy inure themselves to such petrifications. Much about an obvious ability to assimilate will have to be noted in the diaries. People await messengers, yet they are very much frightened at a mere thought about their arrival. If one were to ask the people in what form they would like to see a messenger, a strange conglomeration would emerge, even bordering upon the monstrous. Bird feathers will not be last in the list of messenger attributes, and when people are told that the messenger is surrounded by light, they take precautions, first of all, not to be blinded. True, there may occur shocks during even the most ordinary manifestations. A palpitation may be not from the unexpectedness alone. It may arise from an inequality of auras, such as tension can be even dangerous. Therefore, the appearance of messengers does not occur frequently. Surely, they come not to kill. So, consequently, one must accustom oneself gradually to experiencing different tensions. Investigators of psychic energy will understand that exercise we are speaking about. Besides, experiments with psychic energy is necessary to accustom oneself to communion with the subtle world, and without resorting to magic. Everything natural is to be attained by natural methods. Only by the way of experiment do people accustom themselves to tensions of various degrees. It may be understood that expectation itself will be a natural preparation or discipline, as it is customary to say. A man in a state of preparedness is ready to receive the messenger. It's like I said, when you're ready, the messenger appears, or the teacher appears. And at that point, people fear tests. They are afraid of experiments, but they cannot even imagine all the possible means of learning. Again, physical fear, terror of the flesh, shackles, rations, rational actions. Therefore, in the disciplinary training, tenor, first of all, has to be compared, conquered. And the concept of brotherhood stands on steadfast pillars. In it, there can be no restrictions of age, race, or occasional moods. Indeed, above all else, there is the primary edge if it is manifest, and if contacts through it can be harmonized, then there will be an affirmed, a lasting bond. There's so much to this. I hope you go to this, the book on brotherhood of the Agni Yogi. I'll read more of this in the future because it's long and lengthy, but it's so full of information and so great. But I wish to thank you for joining us tonight. Sorry, nobody called in. And if you did, I missed your call. But we hope that you enjoyed the show and get something out of it. I highly recommend that you do go to this book, Agni Yoga, and check out the books. And we'll be reading much more about it in the future. Highly, highly recommend it. It says I have 48 seconds remaining to the show, so I'll end here. And tomorrow night, tomorrow's Thursday night, I will continue this discussion. I think I might on the brotherhood and on the hierarchy. So spiritual guides. So join me then, and I thank you tomorrow night. And on Friday night, we'll be talking with Lila and with George Dixon. So thanks for listening. Hope you enjoy the show, good night.